This morning's scripture reading comes from Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 21. Please follow along as I read. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other men, young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and I ask that as we listen to your word, you will fill our hearts with hope and courage. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Ben. It's great to be here with you. And as has been said this morning by a few people, it's time back to school. Summer's over. We've been to summer camps, we've been on holidays, perhaps we've been to the beach, we've been on camping trips. I learned that lots of the high school students here volunteer during the summertime. I didn't do that when I was in high school, but lots of young people here spend their time doing great volunteering. But it's all over now. Put up your hand if you've already been back to school. Let's see, hand if you've already gone to school. Put up your hand if you haven't started yet. Is there anybody who hasn't started yet? I think maybe, yeah, one. I see one hand. Somebody's very happy. Yeah, that's right. That's great. Well, there's new classes, new opportunities, and there's new homework coming. Yes. Well, this morning, we want to set aside some time to acknowledge that a lot of people here spend time in school. For a lot of people at Fraser Lands, either you're a student or you're somebody who works at a school, like an educator or a teacher or a tutor. There are many, many people here who spend their life, energy, heart, their time at school. And we want to honor you this morning and commission you, because we believe at Fraser Lands that we are the church. The church isn't the building, but it's the people. And when you go to your school place, you are actually bringing the presence of God with you to that school. I'm a pastor. I work here. I can't go to your school. You go to your school. And when you go as God's representative. He's there with you. And I think we have a wonderful opportunity to bring the presence of God to the places where we are. So this morning what I want to do is commission you to do so. And we're looking at Daniel chapter 1, and to my knowledge, it's the only chapter in the Bible where somebody goes to school. Huh? Good passage, right? Only one in the whole Bible about school? It's a good choice. I'm pretty sure it's the only one where a group of people go to school, and that's what the story's about. And this story is about courage. That's what it's about. Daniel and his four friends do one big, small act of courage. I'll explain that later. And the main idea of the passage is this. Because God is king, they can be courageous. Even in Babylon, where they are, God is king. And his kingdom is a kingdom of love. And because he is over and in charge and bigger, people can go to school and be courageous because God rules there. So that's my point this morning. Okay, so this story, what happens in this story? So the story begins with a guy, we should talk about what's going on in the story, called Nebuchadnezzar. I don't think that's a photo of Nebuchadnezzar. He lived a long, long time ago. Nebuchadnezzar was a king of a country called Babylon, which is the major world power of the day. And he was a conqueror. He had a massive army, and he basically bashed everyone. He was a military genius. He was a megalomaniac. And he conquered Israel. And when he conquered Israel, one of the things he did was he took the best, smartest people away back to his homeland. And he especially was excited about taking some of the young people. So there's Daniel. There he is. Daniel is an old man there. That's near the end of his life. But in this story, he's a young man. So there's Daniel as a young guy. Daniel's probably 15 in this story. The people graduate from the Babylonian school when they're about 18, and it's 3 years long. So probably he's 15 during the story. So what's that, grade 10 or something? And what happens is, he's taken, with his three other Jewish friends, to a re-education program. It's the Babylonian government school. So if you want to learn about how to be a Babylonian superstar, you go to this school. And they're taken there, and Daniel decides to do something radical. He becomes a vegan. He says, no meat, just vegetables. You know, veganism's kind of cool these days. When I was younger, somebody would tell me they're a vegan. I would pretend I didn't understand and thought it was a disease. I would say, oh, I'm so sorry. Is that terminal? Does that run in your family? I'm so sorry. But you know what? A couple years ago, my wife and I decided to become vegans. We became vegans. We did. And pastors often talk about when you're a pastor and you tell somebody you're a pastor, it's really awkward. Well, you want to know something really awkward? Tell somebody you're a vegan. Hi, I'm vegan. Oh, that's. I'm not a vegan anymore. We did it for about a year. We tried it out. Don't worry. You don't have to worry that I'm a vegan. I'm not here to tell you that you have to love God and become a vegan. That's not. Anyways, I was a vegan for a while. We were healthy. It was nice, but I really like meat, so we're eating meat again. Yeah. So yeah. Amen. I guess some amens from some people there, yeah. Don't worry, I'm not here to tell you you're vegan. So Daniel decides to become a vegan, and basically God blesses him. He gets fat, he gets bigger, he gets healthier, really what it means, and he does well in school. God gives him straight A's in the Babylonian school. Okay, so that's the story. So what do we learn about being a student or being God's people? So the first question we have to ask is this. Why the food? of all the things that Daniel decides to say no about, why the food? Daniel is given a Babylonian name. He has to learn their language. He's actually, in their whole education program, he's probably learning about their religion. He's being asked to practice other practices. He's probably studying magic, like Babylonian incantations and stuff. And the thing he makes a fuss about is the food. Why don't you bring out your little Bible reading? Thank you, Andrea, for reading that. There was a lot of strange names. You did a great job. Thank you. So why don't you look at verse 8? You can follow along in the little manila piece of paper. Verse 8. But Daniel resolved to not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked for the chief official permission to not defile himself this way. People give different theories, but the real reason is a little bit harder to think about. Some people think this is a kosher thing, so Jewish people don't eat pig and they don't eat certain kinds of foods. That's not the reason. And I knew why. Why isn't that the reason? Because they eat lots of meat that's not unkosher. They're probably eating some things that are not kosher, but some things that are kosher as well. So it's, the kosher thing isn't the real reason. And some people say it's because of idolatry, but the wine's also used in idol worship as well. So it's not because of kosher reasons, and it's not because of idolatry. The reason why the food is about dependence. So we need to think about what's happening. Where they are in the Babylonian government school, and it's not just about what they know in their head. The Babylonians are trying to re-educate them at a deep, profound level. They're trying to change them. That's why they give them new names. So look at verse 6 and 7. Among those who were chosen, from somewhere Judah, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are all Jewish names, and they get given Babylonian names. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. So all the Hebrew names have meanings. In the ancient world, people knew names have profound and important meanings. And they're given new names with different meanings. So let me give you one example. So Mishael is Hebrew, and it means who is like God. So his name, who he is saying God, there's nobody like him. He gets given the name Meshach. So the Mish is the who he's like. Meshach, who is like Ach. That is a Babylonian god. So his name used to mean who is like God, and they say, we know what that name means. We're going to give you this name. Who is like Ach? So they are in a place where the re-education goes down real deep. It's trying to change who they are at their identity level. And what they're doing is training them to stand with the king. Verse 5, the purpose of this whole thing, the king assigned them a daily amount of food, this is verse 5, and wine from the king's table. And they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, enter the king's service. So the king is looking for people who are both intelligent and loyal. And eating the king's food is the sign of dependence on the king. The passage calls the other students the students who eat the king's food. That's who they are. They're people who go to the king's table and eat the king's food. And Daniel says no to this. It's really interesting. It's about dependence on the king. Where are we being drawn to depend on something not God? So if we think about our schools today, where are our schools drawing us to depend on something that's not God? And that's where we have to say no. Now, maybe there are some high school students that are saying to yourself right now, Mom, do you see what Pastor Ben's saying? School is evil. Right? School is like Babylon. I always told you my teachers are evil, Mom, but you never believed me. Pastor Ben's telling us now, school is evil. This is great. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying school's evil. I know you're thinking that. I know you're thinking that. Notice what Daniel does. Daniel does not leave school. Daniel does not reject school. He goes, and he studies, and he does really well. In fact, he's the top of the class. He does not reject the school. The call of Christian students is to go to school and to study. But Daniel asks this question, where is this school drawing me away from God? Where is this school asking me to depend on something that's not Him? Our call is to look for where that's happening to us. We also have been given a name, and the name is Jesus Christ. And there are things that want to give us different names, and we need to learn to discern those things, and we need to learn to say no. I could spend a long time applying this. There's lots of ways this can happen. There are lots of things that can draw us away from God in school. Sometimes I think our friends can be a source of drawing us away from God. There are a lot of young people who make really, really bad choices because of peer pressure. I was reflecting this week when I was in grade 6. I remember my 3 closest friends all said to me, "There's no way I will ever do drugs." And by the end of grade 12, all 3 of them had. And it's all because of peer pressure, 100%. My friends had a resolution, and they just gave in to peer pressure. It could be something else, though. We could be drawn away from God because of something like the idea of success. There are many people who are working jobs who are totally addicted to their jobs, and they learned it in school. In school, we get grades. And it's easy to hear the message that these grades are the most important thing in your life. Now, grades are not bad. Grades are not bad, but when they are the top thing, they become bad. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. And probably there's some other things also more important than grades too, like family. It may be that school and school activities hinder your relationship from God. That happens. Actually, it happens regularly. And we need to learn, as students faithful to God, where the line is, where I need to be faithful to school, and where I need to say no to be faithful to God. Now, notice this. Courage begins in the small things. Daniel says this no to his school system about the vegan food thing. Notice it's private. It's really, really interesting. They don't tell anybody. They tell the people who need to know. So, for example, verse 11, Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, quote, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink." So Daniel tells only 2 people, the guy who gives them food and the guy who's in charge of him. So other students don't know, the king doesn't know, other officials don't know. It's between Daniel, his friends, and God. That's it. Later, in the book of Daniel, they do an amazing, amazing thing. Later in the book of Daniel, it's one of the greatest quotes in all Scripture. Daniel, so it's really the 3 friends, are before the king, and they're being asked to worship publicly a false god. And the king says, "If you don't worship my god, I'm going to throw you into the fire." It's the very famous fiery furnace bit. And the 3 guys say no straight up to the king's face. And here's the little quote. I love this. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But Even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I love that quote. That, do you feel that? They're standing before Nebuchadnezzar, right? That the maniacal, crazy king who just kills people for fun. They look him in the eyes and say, we will not do what you ask, because you're asking us to compromise our faith, and that's the most precious thing. We'll serve you in the government and do all that we want, but we cannot do this. And that is a magnificent act of courage that they do before the king. But my point is this. They would never have done that if they didn't make this little decision in chapter 1. You can never make a world-changing act of courage if you don't make the small ones first. Chapter 1 is a private act between Daniel and his friends. If you want to be somebody who changes the world, if you want to learn how to be the presence of God in your school, we need to start with small things. We need to start with the things that God has asked us to do today, the little acts of faithfulness. If we start with these little acts of faithfulness, then we can learn what it means to have big acts of courage. I was thinking about great Christians this morning, yesterday, like Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, who did amazing acts of courage, and we're so thankful for them. But if you read about them, they always started with little acts of courage first. Okay, so we need to say one more thing, and that's this. Where does this courage come from? Where does Daniel get the resources as a 15-year-old, a grade 10 student, to look at the whole system and decide, I'm not going to do that? The thing is, Daniel understands who God is. The reason Daniel can do this thing is because of God. If Daniel was by himself and the presence of God was not there, he had no chance. But God is there, even in Babylon. When I was studying this, I found the most amazing thing in verse 9. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, in our translation, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. If you translate it literally, it says something like this. God gave to Daniel steadfast love and compassion in the eyes of the official. So it's the official's kind of at the end. It's God gave to Daniel love. And that word, the favor word, is we normally translate it steadfast love. If you've been around Christianity for a while, you might have heard the word hesed. This is the love that God has, the burning love that never fails, the love that takes action. And the point is this. Daniel's in Babylon, and God's hand is with him in Babylon. The hesed love, the profound reality of God being king of the world is there with him at Babylon. I think we don't understand this. When I remember being at school and having profound sense of being the only Christian there when I was in high school. But actually, God's love was there with me every day. It's very easy to not know this because other people aren't there telling us about it. But the Holy Spirit is real. And God's love is there with you when you're in school, every day, every moment. And sometimes we just forget about it. What did God's love do for Daniel? Well, it gave him good grades. I'm not promising you that if you trust God, you get good grades, and you got to do your homework. But God's love gave him success in this way, but it gave him success in the act of courage, which is the much more important thing. There's kind of a joke in the last verse. It's a really important verse. Verse 21. Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. For my Iranian friends, this is Kurush. I got at least two Iranian friends here. He's a Persian-Iranian king. But we say Cyrus in English, sorry about that. So who is this guy, Cyrus? This verse 21, you meant to go, oh, but if you don't know the history, then you can't go, oh. Nebuchadnezzar is Babylonian. Cyrus is Persian. Cyrus is the guy who defeated the Babylonians. Cyrus came 66 years after Daniel came to Babylon. You know what the point is? Do you know how long Babylon lasted? 66 years. Do you know how long Daniel lasted? 67 years. He lasted 1 year longer than the entire empire of Babylon because God's love was there preserving him. Friends, God is so big. I want to encourage you, as you go to school, I want you to know that God's love is there. He is the king. People aren't telling you this when you go to school, but I am, because I'm the pastor. God is in charge. God is ruling. And God's rule is a rule of love. We have this phrase, step out in faith. I think it's a good phrase for this passage. Daniel is able to step out with this little act of courage in defiance to something that's challenging him to walk away from God. And I want to commission all my friends here, all the people who are going to a school place, to ask this question: where am I being challenged to walk away from God, and where do I need to trust him and learn how to step out in faith? We can know that the love of God is set upon us because we have the name. We have the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I loved Esther showed us the sign language for Jesus. Jesus' death is the demonstration that God will be with us no matter what. We can know that God's presence is with us in any school place, in any hard situation, because God left Jesus so he could be with us. His presence is with us always, and he was so committed to giving us his presence that he even let Jesus die on the cross for us. Friends, go. Be courageous. You can be courageous because God's love is there with you. Amen.